Thank you. Hey, we are in the third week of At the Movies, where we're looking at four feature films that deal with four critical issues of how a Christian should think and act. Now, each of the titles of the messages are just the name of the movie and the topic that they address. So our first week was Captain America on morality. Last week was The Matrix on truth. This week, it kind of came out funny, Frozen on purpose. That was an accident. Now, I recognize that if you're a father of a daughter from age 1 to 19, you're just done with this movie. And right now, you probably have this undeniable urge to punch me right in the spleen. Hey, let it go. No, seriously, this movie, it's something you need to know. Your daughter loves it, and you need to know why. I mean, she really loves it. It was the top moneymaker of 2013 in the movies. And of all time, it's the fifth greatest box office hit of any movie ever made. And that doesn't even include the merchandising around the edges. It doesn't include the soundtrack, which was last year's number one selling album. Your daughter loves this movie. And you need to know why. Because even if you hate the movie, if you don't know why it connects with your daughter's soul, that might be a swing and a miss for you as a parent. And maybe you don't have a daughter. You might have a mother, or a sister, or a cousin, or an aunt, or a niece that you care about. And God has given you the opportunity to be the caretaker of the women's souls in your circle of influence. And so you need to know why this movie has made such an impact on young women's lives. Now, you can ask my wife, talking about a woman's soul is way above my pay grade. So I have investigated about 12 women who I consider godly, spiritual, wise women over the last 3 weeks and asked them this one question: why has Frozen made such an impact? I want to summarize their answer for you here. They say that Frozen taps into every woman's battle. Here it is. Every woman's battle is to be seen and valued, but not to be seen and rejected. See, you want to be seen, and your daughter will do just about anything for you to notice her. She'll sing, she'll dance, she'll put on makeup, she'll dress up. Your wife is probably the same. And if your daughter doesn't hear you say, "I value you," she will find a man to say that to her. The same might be true for your wife as well, or your sister, or your cousin, or your aunt. It is an insatiable need in a woman's soul to be seen. But the fear is, if I show you who I really am, if I let you see clear down into the inside of me and you reject me, I will be absolutely devastated. And the reason Frozen is so popular is not because of the graphics or the catchy tunes. It's because the story tells the story of every woman's battle through two sisters that represent the two sides of this struggle. On the one hand, Anna is this vivacious, outgoing, happy, loves the party girl, but her heart is too open and it's too fragile and it gets crushed. On the other hand, you have Elsa. She is strong, she's powerful, but that's a thin facade for the frightened young girl that's inside of her that is afraid that if she lets you see who she really is, she will be rejected. That is the story of Frozen in a nutshell. And it unpacks for us the three major responses that women often have in attempting to deal with this fear of rejection. There are three responses. The first one is isolation. Conceal, don't feel, says the song in the movie. And I need to take you back to the very beginning of the movie to talk about this attempt at isolation. If you've not seen the movie, because for the last year you've been living on the planet Krypton, it opens with these two girls. Elsa has magical ice powers that she can create things out of snow and ice. And she's creating these elaborate sculptures that her little sister Anna is playing on. And accidentally, she strikes her sister in the head with a magical blast. It freezes her brain. Her parents, the king and queen of Arendelle scoop up Anna in their arms, and with Elsa in tow, they run to the trolls who are able to save her life. As you watch this clip, pay particular attention to the very last sentence of the troll, because that is your daughter's primary struggle for her soul. Let's watch. Did you catch it? Fear will be your enemy. And with that, the troll frightened Elsa. But Elsa was paralyzed, not by the troll, but by what her father said. We will protect her. She can control it. And they closed the doors, they reduced the staff, and they even kept her from her own sister. What her father taught her was, you've got to be a good girl. You've got to put on a facade. You've got to wear the gloves. Don't let anybody know who you really are, or they will reject you. And then tragedy strikes. In a short scene in the movie, which is actually very shrewd, the king and queen go off to a distant country in a ship, and the ship sinks at sea, leaving Elsa alone to handle her fear and her isolation. Here's the problem with fear. Fear isolates. And without adult supervision, Elsa did not know how to deal with that isolation. And the reason I say that shrewd is because they have captured in this movie the greatest problem of American society. It is absent fathers. Now look, dads, I know that much of your situation is out of your control. You didn't ask for the divorce. It's something that you just have to live with. For some of you, you had a child before you were ever married, and now there's a distance between you, and you can't do much about that. For some of you, you still live in the home, but you're so overwhelmed by a demanding job that it's difficult for you to be emotionally available after such a long day of work. For some of you, it's the baggage that you brought from your childhood, and you didn't ask for it. It's just the life that you're living. Now, guys, listen, you can't control your situations all the time, but you can always control your responses. And maybe the best that you can do is a conversation with someone you love. For some of you, you can't even have a conversation. You just have to have a phone call. And for some of you, they won't pick up the phone. The best you can do is send a text. And maybe they won't respond to your text. The best you can do is write a letter. But whatever we can do to say to the women that we care about, I value you, whatever we can do will remove some of the fears that they face in their isolation. Now look, honestly, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. In fact, quite the opposite. Men, I want you to know what power you have from God to invest in women's lives and minimize the fear they have of rejection, because it is your voice that they're listening to. In fact, listen to this passage from the Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, I know that this is dealing with God's judgment at the end of time. But just as God is the father of the universe, so you are the father of your family. And you have the same power over your family to minimize fear through the love that you show. And I know sometimes that is really difficult, but there's 100 ways that we can support the women in our circle that we care about to let them know you will never say anything, you will never do anything that will cause me not to value you. One of the most difficult times, and this is for me, confession time, is tears. I hate tears. I hate it when a woman cries. And it's not women because I think there's something deficient in you when you cry. It's a godly emotion. Let it go. You know why I don't like it? Because I can't fix it. And I know you're saying, you don't have to fix it. Just listen. Yeah, that's a problem for me. Because there's something in me that says, fix it, fix it. And it's so uncomfortable when my wife cries or when my daughter cries. And like you guys, I probably consider tears a bad day. But we need to turn that around. Tears are not a bad day. Tears are an awesome opportunity. Why? Because every tear that you catch on your shoulder is brick and mortar in a wall of protection around the women that you love. And if you can let them know, When you are most vulnerable, I am most available, you will minimize the fear of those women that you love. Here's a second attempt that women often try. It's connection. Now, feel, don't reason. I want to have a human connection, and often that's with a man. And often that man crushes the woman's heart so that men, guys, you got to know this. You, for many women, are both the primary solution and the worst problem at the same time. I thought I would get an amen from the women on that. I want to show you this clip where the girls are now all grown up, and it's coronation day for Elsa. She's going to become the queen. That's a problem because she now has to open the doors. She has to let people in. For Anna, that's not a problem. That is a celebration. And you're going to hear, guys, I apologize. This is a musical. It is a song in a cartoon. You might not like the song, but you better listen carefully because the two girls, Anna is elated, Elsa is terrified. In the cartoon, they're two different people. In your home is the same little girl. Your daughter and probably her mother are struggling with both sides of being seen and needing to be valued, but fearing that if she really is seen, that she will be rejected. So as you watch this clip, instead of putting the names Elsa and Anna, do you have a name of a woman you care about? Maybe a daughter, maybe a sister, a cousin, an aunt, or a wife. I want you to put one name on your soul while you watch this clip because she is singing both sides of the song. If I had another 5 minutes, I would just let the clip run because Anna is going to meet the love of her life, Hans. Now, Hans is a hunk. He's beautiful. He's funny. He finishes her sentences. He's a jerk. He doesn't really love her. He crushes her heart in the end of the movie. And that is the story of so many women. I think there's all of us. We know one woman who has been pretty naive and foolish in the man that she's loved, and she's gotten hurt for it. Here's the problem: romance wounds. And this is a pandemic problem for girls these days because not only are women getting married later, but they're entering puberty younger. So there's this extended period where there's this whole tension of romance, of being seen but not letting people really see who you are. I read a book this last week called Girls on the Edge. Scared me to death. The one particular statistic of this book just really haunted me. And so I want to haunt you with this statistic. We have watched puberty rates drop for decades. By 1991, the average onset of puberty was 10.8. Over the next 15 years, in 2006, it dropped to 9.8. Half of all of the girls in America before their 10th birthday will show physical signs that they are becoming a woman. This is a devastating consequence for girls because they're going to be treated like women and looked at like women from a culture that really asks them to dress seductively and listen to music that is adult. They're being pushed into this adult world long before their emotions, mind, or spirit have developed into a grown woman. They're not capable of handling it. And the Bible even warns about entering into the season of adult life too early. There's a book in the Bible called Song of Solomon. It is a sex manual in the Bible. And three times in the Song of Solomon, we read these words, "Do not stir up or awaken love until it is ready." Three different times, the wisest man in the world said, "Don't enter this too soon." And yet our daughters are in danger because they're entering an adult world long before they're ready. And it's having devastating consequences. Let me just highlight a couple of things that you should be aware of that your daughters are facing. One is a cyber bubble. That your daughters and your sons are online chatting all the time, Instagram, Facebook. And the pressure of that social media is overwhelming. Think with me for a minute about those child stars that had blowouts before they became adults. Like every single one, the Justin Biebers, the Britney Spears, they are devastated because they're not capable of managing the pressure of 24/7 surveillance. Every time they walk outside, someone could take a picture of them that could go viral. Every private conversation they have could be sent out in the tabloids. The paparazzi are now universal for your children, and all of your kids are subjected to 24/7 surveillance because every picture that is taken of them could go viral. Every conversation that they have could be tweeted out for all the world to see on the permanent record of the World Wide Web. They are incapable of handling that kind of pressure. Now listen, you're not gonna be able to stop it. This is a reality we have to deal with. But if you can't change the reality, you need to compensate for it. Here's an idea. Don't let your kids sleep with their cell phones. Because I promise you, at 2, 4, 5 in the morning, the alerts, the dings, the bells, the whistles are going off. And every time it does, your child wakes up to realize somebody might be talking about them, both good and bad. It is overwhelming. Here's another reality that girls face is obsessive obsessions. Now, don't shoot the messenger. This is just the fact that girls have a statistically higher problem of obsessive behaviors. And I don't care what category you're talking about. Eating disorders, it's dominated by young girls, women. You could talk about depression. It's dominated by girls. You could talk about cutting. Dominated by girls. In fact, if your daughter reads 17 magazine, there's a 51% chance that she is cutting and not in places that she wants you to see. The only obsessive behavior that is now equivalent in boys and girls is binge drinking. And that's disturbing because 50 years ago, the rates of binge drinking were almost exclusively male. But over the last 50 years, the boys' rate of binge drinking has remained the same. Girls' rates of binge drinking have quadrupled. So that there's a 25% chance that your high school daughter is binge drinking. Between 1999 and 2008, the rate of DWIs for males dropped 7%. In females, it rose 35%. And newsflash, your daughter is not binge drinking because of peer pressure. It is self-medication. This modern world has not been kind to females. And your daughters are living in a world that's beating them up at every angle, and they're being forced to be adults long before it's time. That's why, dads, you can go ahead and hate the movie Frozen, but you better love that your daughter loves Frozen. Because it sends a very clear message through Anna that you need to be sending to your children, that romance is not the answer for teenagers. That's not going to help them find their purpose in life. And Frozen was the very first Disney movie ever produced, to my knowledge, where the solution to the princess was not a kiss from the prince. And we need to thank God that true love was an act from a sister and not a kiss from a man. There's a third response that women often take, and that is expression. React, but don't respond. Now, in this particular scene that I'm going to describe to you, Elsa, you can remember it in the movie, runs out of Arendelle to the top of a mountain, and she sings this great song, Let It Go. And with her magical power, she creates an ice palace for herself. It is beautiful, but it's also a prison. She reacts to what she's feeling, but she doesn't respond to the people of her community, and especially to her own family and her sister. Now, if your daughter is singing this song, dads, you probably need to debrief with her about what the words actually say. Have you listened to what your daughter is saying? It is so important that we've printed it in your program so that you can lay it on the kitchen table this afternoon and walk through these words with your daughter, because they are not healthy for her to sing. And the movie itself will help you prove to her that there's devastating consequences when you sing this song. Listen to these words. Let it go, can't hold back anymore. Okay, no problem there. Let it go, turn away and slam the door. Is that really what you want your daughter singing through the house? I don't care what they're going to say, that's a lie. I don't know of a woman in the universe that doesn't care what people are saying. Now, she will say, I don't care what they say. But what that means is, it hurts me less if I reject you first. I'd rather reject you and be alone than be rejected and be alone. It's far less painful. But she doesn't believe that. Let the storm rage on. Yeah, that's a good line for a teenager. The cold never bothered me anyway. That's another lie. No woman really believes that. But they will give you the impression, oh, that didn't hurt me. I'm just fine. That's not true. And until we begin to protect the women in our circle and let them know it is okay for you to be seen, and no matter what we see, we will still accept, love, and value you, they're going to keep telling that lie. Here's the next line in the song. It's funny how sometimes distance makes everything seem so small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. Another lie. Next line. It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. Yeah, girl power. No right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free. Do you understand how dangerous that is for a young girl to sing? No right, no wrong, no rules for me, that's gonna make you free? Do you really believe that? Imagine your daughter saying, I've got a car, I'm free, do what I want. I got a bottle, a boy, a razor, I'll do what I want. See, the problem is that this kind of freedom destroys. And the movie will help you, dads, communicate that to your daughters. Because the movie itself shows that the ice palace that she created on the top of the mountain actually left a devastating storm that paralyzed Arendelle and destroyed the heart of her sister. We need to communicate clearly to our daughters that the freedom they express, this self-expression, is not without consequences to those that she loves. So what is the solution? Answer, sacrifice. Because love saves. And there's this incredible conclusion to this movie, where you know that it is a true act of love that will break the curse. But surprisingly, the act of love is not a kiss of a prince, it's the sacrifice of a sister, and that is biblical. Let's watch as the movie concludes. Okay, so it's a little bit cheesy, but it's absolutely true and biblical. Listen to this passage of Scripture from the words of Jesus. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, what Jesus is saying here is not just, hey, this is what I'm doing for you. This is what he calls all of us to. Our purpose in life is not going to be found through romance, through isolation, or self-expression. Our purpose in life is found through love. And ladies, I know I've been talking to the guys for much of the message, but please listen to me. Your purpose is not in the love that you receive from others, but the love that you offer to others. And if you're hurting right now because this message evokes some emotions in you of, yeah, I felt that fear and I felt abandonment, listen, the solution is not to point to a man and say, see what you did wrong to me. The solution is to find someone else who needs validation and you offer that to them. It is through service and your own suffering and sacrifice that you will find your purpose in life. So let me ask a question of all of us. Here's the takeaway. What simple sacrifice could you make this week that would help someone know that they're loved? Look, it doesn't have to be something huge or big or life-altering. It could just be a cup of coffee. Look, we're not living in a Disney movie where you have to save Arendelle. You're living in a real world where it's small acts of kindness that remind people day after day, week after week, that you value them and that you are available to them. So what could it be? A letter you write? A date that you take? A conversation that you have? Something simple that you sacrifice so that someone who's important to you realizes that no matter what they do or say, you will never reject them. They don't have to fear that, but you will always be available when they are most vulnerable. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be good. We want to be people who are willing to sacrifice for the most vulnerable around us. And I pray for the dads in this room that they would reach out to their daughters and remind them that they are safe in their arms, they're safe in their house. I pray for the women in the room that they would realize that their purpose in life will not be found in the arms of a man, but in the sacrifice they offer to those around them who need to know that they're loved. Help us to be more like Jesus in finding our purpose in life, in giving our life away to others. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.